Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. This week on the show, I have Alison Kenny. Hi, Alison. Thank you for coming to the show.
No, thank you so much for having me. I am really excited to be here.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one. But before we get stuck in, let me just tell people a little bit about you and then we'll get going. So Alison is formerly a competitive elite athlete. She's a soccer player. And so soccer, football, we should get the bilingual thing out the way. Football is soccer, football is American football. Anyway, it's the David Beckham type of soccer football that she plays. Yeah, Beckham. And she's also coached women's soccer as well. She's a certified strength and conditioning specialist. She's got a ton of fitness credentials behind her. Lives in Florida with her husband and two daughters. We were just saying how the kids have gone back to school today. So yeah, for us and freedom and more sunshine and coffee and kettlebell as she likes to enjoy. And then as well as that, Alison has a passion project. And it's sort of at this area that I'm quite keen to talk to Alison about today. And her passion project is the Ignited Women's Summit that she holds every year. And so I'm just going to stop there, and I'd love you just to jump in and just tell me a little bit about yourself if I've missed anything out, and then what led you to this beyond coaching thing.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of covered it. Really, soccer is my first love and what got me into all of this. I grew up playing competitively, which kind of rolled right into a coaching career. And coached Division I college women for, 12, almost 13 years. And over that time, started getting lots of fitness credentials. And to be honest, there was just this gap in between the coaching on the field and what was going on in the weight room. And I was kind of tasked with figuring that piece out. And so I was doing all of the strength programming for my college team in the weight room, and then also making sure that they were fit and healthy on the field. So it was this really kind of cool hybrid role between what was going on the field and what was going on for their fitness and in the weight room. So fast forward, family move, and I had started my own business kind of on the side, which has now really grown because I'm no longer coaching soccer. So when my family moved to Florida, I left the soccer coaching scene and took my business online, kind of out of necessity, and have really, really focused on strength training for women. And really kind of this ex-athlete mentality for women who are looking to get into the weight room, that want to find strength and just want somebody else to do it for them. And the Ignited Women's Summit kind of came out of this gap that I saw in the fitness industry of women that were talking about strength or talking about fitness, but needing to see it in all aspects of their life. And so year one, it was like this evening event, and I brought in some keynote speakers, but kind of missed the mark, I'd say, in the first year, because it, quite frankly, was just, it was great, but it was kind of this like rah-rah women empowerment. And I
think, and it wasn't getting down to the meat and bones of
yeah, and
your message. Okay.
And I think there's there's pieces of this, like, women finding their strength and women empowerment that really leaves a lot of other voices out. And to me, if we're not diving into those conversations, we continue to leave those voices out. And those are really important voices and perspectives that need to be taken into consideration when we talk about fitness. Like, we're talking about wellness and your health, but that's, like, all encompassing. Like, you are a whole human being. And so we need to talk about wellness from 360 degrees from, like, all different types of people, right?
Yeah. And you were just saying before we jumped on the show as well, I like that, that you just can't separate fitness and wellness from the rest of your life and from everything that's happening around you. And I really agree with that. And I'd like to dig into that a little bit more. Mm. And I think it's because as women in fitness, it's not just something you do, it's something you feel and live and something that impacts every area of your life, you know, from your mm-hmm. mental well-being, your emotional capacity, from physiological and physical standpoints, and then also like how it impacts your relationships and your work and your viewpoints. And it to me, like you say, it's this big 360 look at where does it fit in and who do we talk about through that inclusive lens. So can I ask you specifically, what do you mean that not everybody is being included and how that looks to you?
Well, specifically, I mean, just go Google, like, women in fitness. And what will you see? You will see an entire page of thin, white, cisgender, blonde, probably blonde and tan, very skinny white women. And that's not what the normal cross section of fitness looks like. That's not what's like general population looks like. And so when we're talking about fitness and voices that we're leaving out, like, you have to think about all these intersections of people, and how you identify. So, like, women of color, class, sex, age, education level. Like, there's all these intersections, and we only speak to, in the fitness industry, like one intersection. And if you don't fit that mold, then for some reason, you're not considered normal, or you try to, like, shove yourself into that box, and it just never works out very well. And if we can broaden that and talk to more people that have bigger bodies and that look different, and that, like, that becomes more of the norm, that's what I want people to see. And if you don't see it, how do you know it's a possibility for yourself?
Yeah, and also people with disabilities as well, right? You must have seen that in your time working in you know, with athletes. I mean, and I agree with you so much. And we, you know, I've been going through this little bit of a rant of late, purely down to, like, an ageist thing from my myself and my community, because, and it's just one example. I agree. It's just one example of all of these people that just get in, like, washed over with negative viewpoints and told basically that, you know, you're not looking like you're supposed to, so therefore your worth is valued at zero. Mm-hmm. And I like, actually don't buy into that. So I don't, it doesn't impact me on an emotional level, as in, oh, well, gosh, I'm not. I just say, gosh, my mom's going to be so happy.
Good job.
I did a good job. I'm not swearing then. But it doesn't impact me and make me feel less of a person. It actually pisses me off. Mm-hmm. So that I just want to shout out and say, just go and fuck yourself. That's actually not true at all. But there's so many women it does impact them. There's so many women that are just already don't feel like they know what to do. They don't feel worthy. Their self-esteem is, you know, pretty low. They can't afford to go to the gym, so they're doing the best they can do. Or, you know, there's so many different narratives, like, around that whole conversation, that it's really difficult to actually always think of someone, always think of all of the different people, right? But you're right. When I've been writing and when I've been talking, and just say I Google menopausal women, then it's old They're always wearing slacks for some reason. Beige. They're always in beige or pastel or pastels, as you would say. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised they're not knitting on their rocking chair, you know, that whole. But it's just that it's not representative of like what's happening in the world right now. And I think that I feel like we're stuck in a time warp that we shouldn't even need to have these conversations. I literally read things and go, really? That's still happening. Those conversations are still happening.
You and I find, live in this bubble of like women who are having these conversations and women who are fighting these narratives. And the second you kind of step outside that community, it is wild. Like the standards that are out there. And I think the difference is that you and I can see that it's a system. And once you recognize that it's a system that's built off of capitalism, that is a money-making machine that you've bought into or that women have bought into to look a certain way, to fit a certain standard. And if you don't, well, that company that you're going to buy that product from is just going to make more money off of you. And the second you can like at least see that it's a system and that narrative that they're just running on you to make money off of you, well, then you can start bumping up against it and saying, you know what? I don't need to partake in this anymore. And so you and I see that system, but there's so many people that have just bought into it and they don't even question it.
And then when you then like this whole conversation for me started this week because of an article in the Guardian newspaper, just saying that we lose our looks as we go through menopause. And it just was so insulting and tone deaf.
Yes.
But here's the thing, like I started talking about it and it garnered like lots of interest and women fighting back. But it was just, I'm such a tiny blip in the ocean of. And they're not going to hear me. They're not going to hear my voice. And I do get frustrated because I'm just like, what do we got to do to break through and actually be heard? Mm. Fighting this bullshit that's out there. And I actually do think that even the small voices matter if we all do it. If we all just pull together and just all keep shouting out and shouting out. But that's the whole purpose of the summit, right? That was the whole purpose of your Ignited Women's Summit, right?
Yes. And I think what you really hit the nail on the head there is like, you feel like a small voice, but to me, like it has to be that snowball effect, right? Like you have to speak up and you have to change one more person's narrative that can then take it back to their family and change maybe their daughter's narrative or their mom's narrative. And they're not buying into these damaging narratives. And so with the summit, what I've created with the summit is opening up those conversations of what is ageism? What is sexism? How are these things? What is racism? How are these things showing up in your life and affecting your personal power? Because I use strength training to like tap into my own badassery. Like that's what it is for me. Like, sure, I love building muscles and like, but it's not about shrinking myself. It's not about fitting a certain mold. And the summit is meant at opening up those conversations to then build and fight for something instead of just banging your head fighting against something. And I think fighting against ageism, fighting against racism, fighting against all the isms and systems that are there is like really important work. I also want to be working towards and fighting for things that are possibilities.
Yeah, because that's the solution. The solution is usually by adding something that's going to bring some benefit to people. Because like you said, these people face challenges. And sometimes when all you do is complain and say this is fair and this shouldn't be like that, it doesn't elicit any change at all, does it? But actually finding solutions and finding ways to make change happen to solve those challenges is the best course of action. We all like to complain and bitch. I mean, I do in particular. I'm pretty good at it.
I am good at it.
but I understand though, like you say that like There has to be like somewhere that people can go to where they hear this like voice of reason. I think people like Courtney is really good from the girls movement. She's really good at sort of helping women embrace their power. And I think that there's like these little pockets of women that are realizing that, you know, we don't have to look militant. We don't have to come across as like hardened feminists to actually just want what's fair for us. You know, that just, we just want to be recognized and to be seen and to be heard and not dismissed. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me is a really important thing to focus on. And so for you then, like, do you have, something that you want to like achieve at the end of this? Is the summit to get the conversation going and to look at ways to help women, or are you actually looking to sort of like go out and say, you've got to change your branding on this and you've got to change the way you talk to women? Is there anything sort of like in your mission that wants to do that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And yes. I think number one, opening up those conversations. I think we really need to get curious around our own belief systems. I think a lot of us have just been indoctrinated into beliefs that we've never questioned. I mean, I am in my 30s and never like considered some things that I want in my life. Like, we just kind of plug along and never stop and question, does this work for me anymore? And to me, the summit is a way to have those conversations. Like, do these narratives work for you? Are they empowering? Are they disempowering? How do they make you feel? And I don't think women have those conversations enough. We are allowed to evolve and we are allowed to change. Think of all like the previous versions of yourself. Do you hold on to them? Do you compare yourself to them? And the summit is a way to question those things. It's not necessarily like, you know, you have to do it this way. I think everybody has a different answer for what works for them at a certain time in their life. And that's going to change. And that's okay.
And I think that that's a really great point because, you know, there's something about a woman that stands up for herself that can be intimidating for people. Yeah. And it's always, you know, there's always that attachment that we're being emotional or we're, you know, we're losing a grip on reality because we actually stand up and ask for what is rightly ours, or, you know, actually give a viewpoint that matters to us. I've always been outspoken and I sort of don't care enough if people don't like what I've got to say. Sometimes I walk away from conversations going, oh, I was a bit intense then, but I get over it pretty quickly. But I remember doing a post on Instagram once about Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't love her anymore because she just basically said that, you know, she's noticed that people feel really uncomfortable around women who don't hate themselves.
And because we're taught to hate ourselves. And so if you're not falling in line with what makes it easy for everybody else around you, well, then you're problematic. And you're not problematic. You're just figuring out that shit doesn't work for you anymore.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just normal behavior, personally.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely normal to say, I don't like the way that you're speaking to me. I don't like the way we're doing this. This isn't working for me. And, you know, menopause gives you the privilege of doing that, I have to say. For all of the shit show that you go through, it literally gets you to the point where you're like, I can't do this anymore. It really isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And it's just a very easy, it makes it very easy for you to just filter through all of the rubbish, right? And just make you focus on what really matters. But that's maturity, I think, you know, just getting older and maybe a bit wiser. I think, you know, it just makes me, I think back to some of the stuff I used to put up with when I was younger and think it just wouldn't happen now.
Yeah.
But I wonder how we actually make change though. I mean, the summit clearly is one of the ways to do it, like writing about it, talking about it. How do we actually make change up at higher levels? I mean, do we start at a grassroots and just try and get momentum going? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's actually, I think about this a lot, especially with what I'm trying to do with the summit. And to me, it's kind of twofold. So it has to start on an individual level. Like, we have to do that work on the inside to understand our own biases, to understand our own internalized misogyny, our own internalized, whatever everybody carries that baggage. And if you can't handle that, you end up projecting it out into the world. Right. And so I think it really does start on an individual level, and doing your own work. And that looks really, really different for people. So I don't think there's just one way to do that. I do think that work starts on the inside. So then when you go out into the world, you can have more of a positive impact. So for me, it's really that, that two-pronged approach. Start on the inside so that when you go out into the world, you have a more positive impact.
Yeah. And how does strength work and the coaching that you do play into that? I mean, I think I know the answer, but it's just really nice to sort of reinforce, you know, what it's done for us as women, but what it can do for other women. Because I think that that's often, oh, I'm sorry, you know what? My coffee machine's just gone off in the background.
Yes.
just so everyone knows, we're keeping it real. I'm slurping my coffee as I'm speaking to Alison. But you know, like, if a woman comes to you and she's feeling all of these feelings of not feeling included and not knowing where to start, of feeling intimidated by like even getting started, or why should she get started? What's sort of your response to that?
Yeah, you know, usually women come to me that I work with that feel a bit disconnected from their bodies, or feel a little disempowered, or they want to build confidence, or, you know, a lot of the things that we talk about. And I really, truly believe there is just this transformative power of strength training and really moving your body, right? Like, the mind, body, heart, soul connection is there. And we spend so much time in our heads and so much time disconnected from our bodies that, to me, the women I work with, it's strength training, but they end up discovering that, like, they can start picking up these weights that they never thought they could. And so it's really shifting this mental process for them, along with the physical stuff. Like, to me, the physical stuff is cool. And if you have fat loss goals, great. If you have strength goals, cool. Performance goals. That stuff, though, changes all the time, and it's fleeting, right? Like, you might break your leg. Well, there go your performance goals. Yeah. But the mindset work and the grittiness that you need and the resilience that you need to have to, like, keep going back, that translates into everything in your life. And you end up finding your voice, and you end up finding your inner power, and all these things that come from tapping into that strength. And that is, like, everything to me when I am working with my clients. It's the transformation that I love to see.
Yeah, it's really hard to sort of even explain that. You did a great job there, but when people ask me, I'm like, I just can't even begin to tell you how it can be completely transformative. It's like a domino effect.
It is.
And then for people like you and I that have got people that are looking up at us and watching everything we're doing, it can also trickle down to those people. So our children, our partners, male or female, they see what we do, and it makes a difference to them. There's one that I was talking recently on social media. My oldest son has concussion, and he's 16, and he's 6'2" and 215 pounds. He's a giant 16-year-old, but he still is a 16-year-old, and 16-year-old boys want to hug their mom, right? And so I was being smothered by my giant bear the other day, and he turned around to me and said, "I love your thick thighs, mom."
Aww,
and I
that's
knew
so great.
And I think I said, all the better to smother your hopes and dreams with, I think was but he meant that as a compliment, because he sees that I work hard, and he sees that I'm strong and capable. And I know that in 2 years' time, when he leaves home mm-hmm. and he gets on with his life, he's not going to be worried about how I'm doing, because he knows that he's got a strong mom that's more than capable of getting on with things, right? Yeah. And I think that just the impact that our actions have on the rest of the people around us is usually understated. And I think that those type of impacts are part of the answer to what you're doing. It's like mm-hmm. it can just change the narrative around everything, like the class, the sex, the age, the color, the disabilities, all of those things. When we see that we're capable and we show people we're capable, it filters down.
And I really think, God, what a disservice coaches are doing for their clients if you are so focused on just the workout or just the nutrition and you're not seeing people's full lives. Like, people are complex. Humans are very funny. we just have so many wide experiences, and I find that I am doing my clients a disservice if I am not honoring all those pieces of their lives. Like, they will not go to the gym on a consistent basis if their kiddo is sick and they have, an aging mom that's in a nursing home. Like, I'm not there to shame them into getting to the gym because that's what's healthiest for you and you need to move your body. But that's the message that, like, the fitness industry piles on versus, like, hey, maybe a session off or maybe a week off is not the end of the world. Like, let's show a little bit more grace and compassion in our lives and take the shame and blame and guilt out of it. So your language really matters.
Language matters, definitely. And I think, you know, the fitness world has gone both ways. Like, so it started off with the no pain, no gain, and, you know, what's your excuse? You know, the mother with the two babies who was skinny, all of that happened. And then on the other side, it went to the ultra extreme where it was like, you don't have to do anything. And it was giving women too many excuses. And I'm saying this from a place of love and compassion and also a little bit of tough love as well, because there's got to be a middle ground, right? But that's why people hire people like us, like coaches, so that they can have some structure, because we often do well with like some type of structure or idea or like ways of building up habits that are sustainable and with longevity. Yes. But of course, it always must come from a place of empathy and compassion and non-judgment. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
It really doesn't.
I mean, you must see this in competitive sports, because at my son's football team, we had coaches 1 year that were just amazing. They were kind, they were smart, and the kids wanted to work for them. And then the following year, they had old school coaches that were coming in and screeching at the children. And I asked my kid, I said, who are you going to work better for? The guy that screeches at you or the guy that like makes you believe in yourself and actually educate you on what to do? And he went, you're even asking me that?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that my kids realized that, you know, being screamed at and shouted at and being belittled is never going to make anyone a better person. No. Right. And
so fear-based, like, who wants to work hard for somebody else based out of fear? Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. But if you can lead the way, if you can show them, especially in team set, I mean, actually, like, in all of my coaching programs, I set them up as like team-based, community-based. We thrive in communities. Humans need human connection. And if that connection is fear-based, that's not real connection. And I see that in team sports all the time, you know, coaches that scream, coaches that yell, like, you think you're quote motivating, you are doing so much more damage. You can get somebody to buy in to your values, your mission, get you working towards the same goal, building that community. That's the buy-in that's going to get people moving towards that positive, into that positive place. That's what you really want.
Absolutely. I think the work that you're doing and the message that you're doing is just so refreshing. And I know you do a lot of work that's free and a lot of information that's out there to try and bring women into the fold. Can you tell me what's the plans for the summit? Is it going to happen next year?
So the date is set. Ignited Women's Summit is going to be on Saturday, April 18th, 2020. In Seattle, Washington. Speakers are lined up. I'm still waiting on one more before those are all announced, but you can find that information on the Ignited Women's Summit website, at least the date, and then it'll be updated as soon as I get more information.
There's a woman that's organized. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. I haven't even worked out what I'm making for dinner tonight. And
telling you, this summit is everything. It is like my heart and soul in one weekend, and it just has really transformed my life and transformed the lives of the women that come. So, I love it.
And I look at it like this, that you do compared to the Goop one that Gwyneth does. Mm. And I just like look and go, you know, which is most empowering to you, to me when I look, and it's clearly what the work you're doing. And, I just think keeping things authentic and keeping women feeling valued is such an important message. And I thank you so much for continuing to do that. Alison, where can people find you? Which is the best place to find you, dig you down?
Yeah, for sure on Instagram. I'm like living my best life over on the gram. I am at Alison Tenney, all lowercase, all together. And I mean, it's really where I hang out and doing my work, offer free stuff. It's where I'm talking about all my programs, how to work with me. I'm in the DMs. So yeah.
Instagram. And she's on the stories. I like looking at her stories with little girlies in the background. And I mean, that's the thing, that like you have two young children, two young girls. And that's a really important message to send. Yeah. Same with me with my boys.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just how it's going to change how they are with their partners, their future partners, because of the message that we're sending out.
I totally agree.
Well, Alison, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great to chat with you. I feel like we could talk about this more.
Oh my gosh, we could. We could go on for hours and hours. It's just been so wonderful. It's so refreshing to be in the same community with women like yourself that are also giving out really great information, really empowering information. And I just really appreciate what you're doing in the space.
And thank you. And I think that that's a really great point, actually. I mean, there's a lot of us doing work, and then and organically we're not competing either, and I love that. Like it's we totally get that we're better in this together than we are like fighting ourselves. So so it's so great that I've finally connected with you, and I really wanted to get you on to talk about the summit, because I think it would be great for women to go and check that out. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. I do appreciate you spending the time listening to my podcast. And what would really help me to continue to have great guests on the show and to raise the profile of this podcast is for you to leave me a review. And if you do that, then I'll send you out. I have a free program. It's a 12-week program called Abs on Fire. And it just gives you some ideas of extra things you can add into your workout. So leave a review and then drop me an email. And thank you again for listening to the show. Take care and bye for now. Thank you for listening to the show. And now I have a quick favor to ask of you. Would you leave me a review? Every time you leave me a review, it helps me get in front of new listeners. It helps me to continue to put out great content and get fabulous guests on the show. And in return for you doing that, I will send you a free gift. I have a 12-week core focus program called Abs on Fire. All you need to do is two simple things. One, leave me a review on iTunes or Google. Two, email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll wing that program over to you. Thanks so much, guys. The views and advice expressed in this show by myself are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider. Thanks so much for stopping by. Take care. Bye.